Welcome to the Village Church Podcast. Thanks for stopping by and taking the time to listen. We've prayed that this podcast channel blesses and encourages the Village family. So lean in with an open heart, eager to grow, and enjoy the episode.
Last Sunday, what happened last Sunday? Last Sunday, there we go, was Ascension Sunday. Not that Ascension Day is on a Sunday, do you know that? Yeah. It's always on a Thursday, 40 days after Jesus was resurrected. But today we want to have a look at what happened 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven. What the Christian calendar would speak of or would highlight as Pentecost Sunday. All right, so if you've got your Bibles, let's go to Luke 24. This is when Jesus appears to his disciples after he's been resurrected from the dead, but before he ascends into heaven. And we're going to read here from verse 45 of Luke 24. And it says, "Then he," that's Jesus, "opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures." How about asking right now, this very moment, "Lord Jesus, would you open my mind that I might understand the scriptures?" Because that's what Jesus did. And he told them this: "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised." What was Jesus referring to there? The Holy Spirit. And not just the Holy Spirit, but the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. Because immediately he says this, "But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And when he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken into heaven. And then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Now, last Sunday, I had the privilege of preaching at Narawahia. And I gave a number of reasons why the ascension of Jesus matters. Why it is so significant for us. Not just for heaven, not just for this world, but why it is so significant for us. And one of the reasons I gave was the fact that the Holy Spirit could now come and be with us. Because Jesus ascended. And not only could he be with us, but he could empower us for life and for ministry. In fact, in John 16, verse 7, Jesus tells us that it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, unless I ascend into heaven, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Which, of course, happened 10 days later at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. But the point is, Jesus had to ascend in order for the Holy Spirit to come in his place. Where the Holy Spirit could now come and be with us. Where he could live in us. Where he could help us. Where he could strengthen us. Where he could encourage us. Where he could, in fact, make us and allow us to become more like Jesus. Where he would enable us to do the things that Jesus did. And not just what Jesus did, but actually even greater things than what Jesus did, John 14 tells us. And you might say, well, why couldn't Jesus do all of that for us? Well, for the simple reason is that Jesus was limited by space and time. He couldn't be everywhere all the time, but the Holy Spirit can be. And the Holy Spirit's empowering presence is now available to every one of us. Every moment of every day, helping us, enabling us, and empowering us to do the works that God has called us to do. And so the ascension matters, and this was my point last week, one of them, the ascension matters because we cannot do life, nor are we meant to do life without the Holy Spirit. And that's why I'm convinced that a Christianity without the Holy Spirit is no Christianity at all. Now, it's not to say that the person who trusts in Jesus is not a Christian or won't be spending eternity in heaven. But it is saying that without the empowering of God's Spirit, life on earth and life in His service would be sterile, it would be bland, and it would be very ordinary. Without the infilling of God's Spirit, I would merely exist. But when I'm saturated with the Spirit, when the Spirit comes upon me and not just indwelling me, when I'm led by the Spirit and I'm filled with the Spirit, then to use Paul's words, now I really live. 1 Thessalonians 3:8. You know, Jesus talks to us about the effects of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. In Luke 24:49, the passage we've already referred to, when he says to the disciples, you will be clothed with what? With power. You'll be clothed with power from on high. And not only will the Holy Spirit come, but Jesus is saying to them, you're going to be clothed with power that comes from God. In Acts 1:8, he says to those disciples that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Remember on the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after Passover, those disciples were meeting in the upper room, and Scripture tells us in Acts 2:4 that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And let me remind you, it wasn't just on a day that that happened. But that happened on numerous occasions, when they were together, as we see in Acts 4:31, or whether they were on their own. But it's Jesus' promise. Power will come upon you if you want it and if you recognize your need for it. And that's why I'm convinced that if we're going to do the works that God has prepared for each one of us to do, you know what? Then we are going to need power from on high to be able to do those works that God has called us to. If we're going to be His witnesses, if we're going to operate in His gifts, if we're going to preach the gospel, if we're going to seek and save the lost, if we're going to serve the purposes of God, if we're going to disciple the nations, and so we could go on, let me remind you again, there is no way that we can do that on our own or in our own strength. Yeah. It's impossible. In fact, God speaks through the prophet Zechariah in chapter 4:6, saying that very thing. It's not going to be by your might. It's not going to be by your power that anything gets done or achieved. It's only by my Spirit, says the Lord. And without the involvement and without the empowering of the Holy Spirit, I want to say it again, there is no way that we can live the Christian life or do the things Jesus did or even that which the early church did. It's impossible. A few nods, maybe. There we go. Thank you. Absolutely true. This is what we read in Acts 10:38. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Now, many think that Jesus was able to do these things because he was God in the person of the Son. And yes, of course, he was God and he is God. But that's not why he could do the things he did or live as he lived. Because remember, Jesus came to this earth not as God, but as a man. And in Philippians 2, it tells us how he set aside his divine nature, those divine attributes, and took on the form of a human being with all of its weaknesses and limitations. And in verse 7 of Philippians 2, we're told how he made himself nothing, which literally means he emptied himself of his divinity, of his divine nature, being made in human likeness. And so many believe mistakenly that they think that Jesus was able to work wonders, that he was able to perform miracles, that he was able to live above sin because he had divine powers that we don't have. And for that reason, many never really aspire to live as Jesus lived. And in fact, to do what he did. And yet Jesus himself tells us in John 14:12 that anyone who has faith in me will do the works I've been doing. And they will do even greater things than these. And here's the key, because I'm going to the Father. Remember he said, unless I go to the Father, the Holy Spirit cannot come. And so it's the Holy Spirit who will enable us to live like Jesus and do what Jesus did. It was the ministry and the empowering of the Holy Spirit that enabled Jesus to be Jesus, not his divine nature. Why? Because he's that nature he set aside when he came to this earth. Which means again that he set aside the power and the privileges of that divine nature. Let's unpack that a little bit. Remember Jesus' conception. It was the Holy Spirit who gave the Son of God his human body. And you can read that in Luke 1 verse 35. At his baptism, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, we are told, came on Jesus and remained on him. Luke 3 verse 22. And very interesting to note, up until that moment, Jesus had not performed one miracle. It was only after the Holy Spirit came upon him at his baptism that we see Jesus beginning to work in signs and wonders. At his temptation, we see again that he was led and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do battle against Satan. Luke chapter 4 verse 1. At the beginning of his public ministry, we see again where the source of that power came from. And Jesus himself says it in Luke, speaking of Jesus, Luke 4:14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. But it wasn't just at the beginning of his ministry, even in the middle of his ministry. In Matthew 12:28, Jesus says that he cast out demons, how? By the Spirit of God. And then after Jesus was resurrected and ascended, Jesus summed up his ministry by saying, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. The point being, he ministered as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. And you know what? If Jesus was that reliant on the Holy Spirit to live his life and to do what his Father had sent him to do, how much more so for you and I? Huh? How much more so? You know, in John 17:18, Jesus said to the Father, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And you know, here's the thing. Jesus sends us into the world to live as he lived. And you know what? He expects nothing less than that. Why do I say that? Because through the new birth, he's enabled us to exchange the sinful nature of Adam for the sinless nature of God. And he's made available to us the anointing and the infilling and the empowering of his Spirit, thereby giving us access to the same power source that he relied on. The power of the Holy Spirit when he walked this earth. Amazing to think that we can tap into the same power source that Jesus tapped into. That same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is available to us. That same power, the same Holy Spirit that came on Samson and allowed him to single-handedly kill 1,000 Philistines is available to us. The same power that enabled Elijah to call down fire from heaven, to kill 450 prophets of Baal, to outrun the king's chariots all in a day, is available to you and I. And you might say, well, what power is that? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Which is why Scripture tells us that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. How? According to his power that is at work within us. His power that works through us to change and transform lives, society, situations. The power of God. I want to say, friends, this morning, I trust that even now the Holy Spirit is stirring up a fresh desire, a fresh appetite for greater outpourings, greater infillings of His wonderful Holy Spirit. The absolute need for it, for the Holy Spirit to work in and through, not just our lives, but can I say our church, and even into our nation and beyond, where there is a deep longing, a desperate longing for the infilling and the outpouring of His Spirit. This is how Jesus puts it in Luke 11:13, when He says, "If you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" How much more? How much more will He give to those who are desperate, those who acknowledge their need for the Holy Spirit, and for those who will ask? And so I want to say to you this morning, let's ask. Let's ask. Let's be so hungry, so thirsty for ever-increasing flows and manifestations of God's Spirit. Let's believe for greater infillings, greater outpourings of God's presence, of God's power in our lives, in our day-to-day living, in whatever situation we find ourselves in. In Isaiah 49, verse 3, God puts it like this when He says, "You are my servant." Personalize that this morning. Let God speak this over you. "You are my servant in whom I will display my splendor." And you know what? We are displayers and we are dispensers of God's splendor, of His might, of His presence, of His power. And how are we going to do that? By the Spirit of God flowing in us and through us. There is just no other way. And so my question to you as I bring this to a close is, do you want this life? Do you want and do you recognize your need for the Holy Spirit to come upon you? For the Holy Spirit to fill you, to anoint you, to equip you, and to empower you for life and for ministry? Well, if you do, well, you know what? Jesus the Baptizer wants to give you His Holy Spirit. He wants to pour His Holy Spirit out upon you in such a powerful and a tangible way that you would never have to doubt whether God has done it or not. And so how will this happen? Well, very simply, it happens by asking. You've got to want the Holy Spirit. You've got to be thirsty for His life, for His infilling, fresh infilling. Because the truth is, we are leaky vessels, eh? And literally every morning as I sit before God, I say, "Lord, I need a fresh infilling of Your Holy Spirit if I'm going to get through this day, if I'm going to do the things that You've called me to do." And in a very simple way, I sit or stand or kneel before God and I say, "Lord, I'm asking, come with Your Holy Spirit and come and refresh, come and refill, come and energize, come and empower, come and anoint me for this day, for that task, for that person, for this situation." That's all we have to do. Ask. For you as an earthly father, we've read it, know how to give good gifts. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? But to ask, we've got to be thirsty. We've got to have a longing in us to acknowledge that I cannot live life without the infilling of God's Spirit. Secondly, you've got to believe. Eh? Believe that God wants to pour His Holy Spirit out to you. He wants to give you His Spirit. Why? Because He knows that you need His Spirit. You need outpouring and the infilling of His Spirit. And then you need to receive. It's as simple as that. You know, the hands of faith that reached out to receive the Savior's pardon must now reach out to receive the Spirit's power. It's as easy as that. I'm going to ask the musos to come up. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I'm not going to call people out because we don't have room here. But I think this is a wonderful opportunity. It's a wonderful reminder again, not only of our need for the Holy Spirit, because that's one thing. We can academically know that. We can know that we can't do life without Him. And I think we'd all say a thumbs up on that. But what an opportunity we have this morning. Not just because it's Pentecost Sunday, but certainly as a reminder that this is what God has for us every moment of every day, a fresh infilling of His Holy Spirit.